passion. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Oh, 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 oh. All I want is to be in the light.
Welcome to the Truth Business Network radio program. My name is Chris Roloff. I am in the studio with my regular co-host Joel Smith, who's sitting to my far right. This radio program is being produced by Ron Carlson, and in the studio is our special guest, I think. Now, Carrie, tell me if this is true or not. Have you been on the Truth Business Network radio program before? I can't remember.
Me either.
Yeah.
Joel, he has?
I think so.
Yeah, he's been on.
Okay. I can't remember what we talked about last time. It was so moving and powerful to me today.
It was unforgettably forgettable.
It was unforgettably forgettable. Now, the two of you spend a decent amount of time together, at least 2 days out of a month. Not the full days, but you guys do something called Truth and Leadership Academy training. So you do training for your competitive employees. I don't know how to word that. So you guys are both in the pizza business. And you guys work together to train each other's employees, and that sounds really confusing to me. So somebody explain to me why the heck you would do this. You want to go first, Carrie?
Sure. We don't look at it as competitive employees. We look at it as these are people. These are young people that need leadership training that are not going to get it unless we give it to them. And Joel and I combined have close to 80 years experience in management and leadership, and God moves us to give it back to the next generation. So the point is to help them up. And so they're just people.
Now, both of you got your start in business through food service. Is that
right?
That's
correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you guys are living testimony that you can do something. You know, a lot of times people think of being in food service as a dead-end street, and that's just something you do temporarily. But you can actually make something of yourself in that world. Is that right, Joel?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I would say that in the world of blue-collar workers, this is the industry that more people can become millionaires without a college degree than any other industry.
That's a fact.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So I really missed out. I should have kept that job instead of moving on, because I'm not a millionaire now, my friend. We are talking about friends and foes. We have a couple of people in the studio, as you can now tell, Joel Smith and Carrie Peterson. Carrie Peterson, of course, co-founder of Northern Lights Pizza, and Joel Smith with Papa Murphy's Restaurants. He is also John C. Maxwell coach. And you guys know a little bit about leadership. And on Tuesday this week, you guys came to use the office room here where you guys do your training here at the radio station. And Joel, you popped in and you said, we're talking about friend or foe, and we're going to use that friend or foe game show as a training thing. And I said, I don't know what that game show is. And I said, what is friend or foe? And then was very, very intrigued by it as a concept. So, Joel, why don't you explain to us what friend or foe is kind of as a game, essentially, and how that works?
Sure. So back in the early 2000s, there was a game show called Friend or Foe. And it was a game show where people would pair up and they would go through a series of questions or whatever, a competition to win money and get to the end. And at the end of the show, they would have the winning couple go against each other to decide who's going to get the money. And so they would go against each other and they would vote friend or foe. And if both people voted friend, then they would split the money. They would split the prize that they had won throughout the course of the show. And if one person voted friend and the other voted foe, then the person who voted foe would get all of the money.
Nice.
So the person who voted friend would kind of get screwed over then. And then if both people go foe, if they both decide to be selfish and try to take it all, then they lose everything. Then neither one get anything. And so it's a really interesting concept that kind of challenges your motives.
It does. You know, when you explained it to me, my initial thought was, as a person who really likes games, I loved that. I loved the conundrum, because the best way to win in that situation is to deceive the other person, to convince them that you're going to go friend and then take all the money. And I just think that brings a huge smile to my face. And that must mean that I'm a terribly wicked, evil person.
It confirms it.
Yeah, it confirms that. Yeah, right. But as a fascinating game, you know, I think that that's really clever, because you have to build trust in the relationship. And I like a little bit of deception in my games, but as a real life principle, it's actually kind of heartbreaking. Explain to us how this might relate, Carrie, in a real life situation.
So that we did the game in the show. We had all of our the people in this class are our managers, assistant managers, and literally anybody who wants to come. If you're out there in the audience and you would like to attend one of these seminar classes, you are more than welcome to do that. Just contact us, I guess, and we'll let you know what to do. Anyway, how does this apply to leadership? How does this apply to real life? Well, in your relationships with people, you are either in a friend or foe position in your relationship. You're in a relationship like that with your employer and literally every relationship you have. So our goal is to teach people that the best relationship that you can have with your employer, with your employees, is the friend-friend. You know, it's not a winner-take-all kind of situation. It's a, you know, there's enough for everybody.
Mutual edification.
Mutual edification. So it does apply to real life. It does apply to leadership. And that's where but you know, we just did this little fun thing. And you know, there's a little war over chocolate for a while. And everybody had a lot of fun. And then there were, you know, it's like deer in headlights. Okay, what's the point of this? And then you can explain very simply that, you know, if you are the foe in a relationship, you're going to get all the chocolate. But it's a temporary satisfaction at best. You know, I'll let Joel go about this more about the workplace. But if you are the foe in the work situation, say you're an employee and you're only given 50% of your effort for 100% of your pay, you are taking the candy, quote unquote, but it's going to be short lived because the employer is going to see through that. And they're going to, you know, so you're going to end up going from job to job to job to job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had Joel, you explained it to me, and I thought was really fascinating about that. Like in a game type situation, if I were to play this game with you, Carrie, and the first time we went friend friend, and the next opportunity we have an opportunity to go friend friend again, and I'm definitely going to keep going. We've got a great track record for Coast. I go, of course, I'm going to go foe. The second time you go friend, I go foe. And now you're like, well, I'm not going to get hosed another time. So then we both go foe, and then we all lose. Right. And I think in the real life scenario, that's kind of the payout. Eventually, you explained that to me, Joel, that, you know, you might want to do foe initially because it was fun and rewarding and you got the best deal. Right. Because I didn't have to split it with someone. But eventually that goes to a foe-foe relationship, which might be your termination. Or if you care about the company, it could even be more detrimental than just you losing your job. It could actually hurt the company. Is that kind of close to the analogy, Joel?
Yeah, that's right. When you play the game, you know, it's kind of fun and it's cute. And, you know, we played it for chocolate, you know, for little candy bars. And so the ramifications are pretty minute compared to real life. But in real life, you know, trust is at stake. And when you enter into a friend-friend relationship and you begin to build trust, that's something that can last a long time. You know, when you can trust somebody and you know that that person's going to have your back and you're going to have their back and that you can resist the urge to take and gain more instantly, but, you know, you're in it for the long haul. That's what all great companies are based on. That's what all great relationships, all great marriages, all great friendships, that's what they're all based on. They're based on mutual edification, saying, hey, you know what, I value the results, your results, just as much as I value my own results.
Right.
And so I'm going to invest in you, and I trust that you're going to invest in me. I think that's where the magic comes from this game and what we can learn from it.
Absolutely. Well, it's a term that might be new to some of us, the friend-foe thing or a friend-friend relationship, but it's not new for many of us, win-win relationships. I talk about it in my mind, to think about it from a leadership perspective, to get everybody in the boat rowing at the same time, rowing in unison, we're working together, we're going to get farther. We're going to do more if we're together. If everybody's just over here rowing in the way that they want to row and taking the boat in their direction, the boat's going to split up, break, and sink, right? We're not really going to get where we're going to go. So it seems like to me, obviously a win-win, mutually beneficial way of approaching it, our business or our lives, is definitely the best way to go. But I have this sneaking suspicion that that's really not what's going on all the time out there, even in our own hearts or in our own lives. So how would we know if we are being a foe in our workplace? How would we self-discover that?
Well, one of the things we are teaching is emotional intelligence, being self-aware. being aware of what position you're having. I think that instinctively we know if we're a foe. It's the same thing that you're aware of your sin, even if you don't want to admit that it's a sin. You know right from wrong. You just know that you're a foe. You may not look at it in, oh, I'm a foe, but you are aware, that you stole the candy bar.
Right.
And it's reflected sometimes in your self-image as well, your confidence, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, and what you believe other people see in you. A lot of that is reflected in what you know about yourself instinctively.
And I think, we know enough to hide our sin. So if you're doing something you're not supposed to do, don't we normally do that behind closed doors?
Oh, sure.
You don't want anybody to see you sneaking out early. They know. There's no question that you know. I just don't buy that. Now, does your boss know it? Maybe not. But again, if you the point of this is this is a leadership academy. We're teaching people leadership. And one of the key foundations of leadership is called the law of solid ground. If you cannot be trusted, people will not follow you. So they have to know that you're going to come in on that friend side. They have to count on that. So as a leader, you have to know that people have to trust that you're going to vote friend every single time. And even if you know the other person's going to vote foe, you still try to be friend as much as possible until they demonstrate that they're just not interested. And then they get voted, go work for someone else.
And then they get voted, go work for someone else.
Right.
The voice you're hearing is Kerry Peterson, co-founder of Northern Lights Pizza. Joel Smith is here with us as well. This is the Truth Business Network radio program. It's our desire on this radio program to encourage you, to build you up so that God can continue to use you. He's called you into your place of work or ministry or in the relationships you are in. And our little network of business professionals, we get together on a weekly basis every Wednesday at the Pizza Ranch on 86th Street in Urbandale. And our desire, hopefully, is that at that weekly meeting, that the people that come are built up and encouraged in that same way. And so we desire that this radio program would do the same thing for you as the listener today. And we're talking about friend-foe, win-win relationships, mutually beneficial partnerships in the context of leadership. And I think, Kerry, you made this very crystal clear. The idea, I hadn't heard that before, the idea of just being a solid foundation. You are the rock as a leader. You're the thing that everyone in the business and organization and the family and the relationship, whatever it is, you're the thing that someone could trust. That is a great starting place for leadership. A lot of times in leadership development, we think, I don't know that I have the skills to be a leader. I don't know that I've read every leadership book, or I don't have my time management down just perfectly, or whatever the case may be, right? I'm not a type A person. But what you just described, Kerry, is that if I'm trustworthy, if I'm solid, if I can be counted on, that's the building blocks mm-hmm. of great leadership. Joel, you're over here nodding your head pretty vigorously, so I must be saying something smart. I stole it from Kerry, but what? talk to me about that.
Well, you say a lot of smart things, Chris. So. Yeah, so trust is the building block to any type of a relationship, and this this whole friend idea or win-win situation is that's really what we have to move towards. But in the leadership world, we have to take this a little bit further too. So a leader's job isn't just to enter into win-win relationships with people that's mutually beneficial, but a leadership's job is to cast a vision so that their people can see what the advantage down the road is, like what this turns into, that if we continually enter into win-win relationships within our organization and we promote that and we create a culture of win-win relationships, what is that going to look like down the road? So a leader's job is to cast a vision so that we can see what success looks like when a company comes together with a culture of win-win. And that's the difference. It's not simply just taking responsibility for your own relationships. A leader goes beyond their own responsibility. They take responsibility for the results of other people and for casting a vision and taking the steps to help other people get to a better place. And a lot of people don't understand the win-win relationship. Maybe they grew up in a situation of they grew up with an environment or a culture of takers, and so maybe it's a jungle mentality where you step on other people to get what you need to get, and if you don't take, you don't eat. And so some people, when they get into the workplace, then that's all they know. And so it takes a leader to put their arm around somebody and cast a vision and say, look, if you change the way you think and you put your focus on other people and serving other people and come up with a different kind of game plan that serves your fellow people, this is the result you're going to get. You're going to get a win-win for everybody, and you're going to grow. You're going to raise your value in the workplace. You're going to become more valuable to other people, and your options are going to grow, and other people are going to seek you out. You're going to become a magnet for other people that want you. And that's really what it's about. We want to be magnets. We want to be people that are attractive for other customers or other employers or whoever that want us to come work for them. That's how you raise your value in the workplace. And everybody has that ability to do that, regardless of what job you have and where you're at. If you do your best and you create a margin of doing a little bit more than what's expected of you, you're entering into a win-win situation. And if you take responsibility for that and you do it, you will raise your value.
The voice you're hearing is Joel Smith. He is one of the members, one of the team members of the Truth and Leadership Academy. If you'd like to be a part of that, if you'd like to come get training from these two gentlemen, you can just reach out to the radio station. Give us a call at 515-251-2663. That's the office number here. And ask about the Truth and Leadership Academy. We've got more with Joel and Kerry Peterson when we come back here at the Truth Business Network. So you're in this relationship with another person. This is a business relationship, and every time an opportunity comes up, you notice that the other person keeps taking everything, and you're kind of left with, well, the leftovers. And you're getting kind of sick, and you're getting kind of tired of it, and you're starting to feel like a pushover. That's the kind of relationship you don't want to be in. And today we're talking about friend and foe relationships. That's a friend-foe relationship. You're the friend, and the other person's being the foe. Now, the foe at that moment is really going away pretty happy temporarily. You're not. And this happens a lot to Christians, I think. At least, ideally, it would happen a lot to Christians that we are trustworthy, giving, kind individuals, and we find ourselves in a friend-foe relationship where we're the friend and we're getting taken advantage of. Today, we're on the Truth Business Network radio program. Our guest is Kerry Peterson of Northern Lights Pizza and Truth and Leadership Academy. Joel Smith is my regular co-host. My name is Chris Roloff. We're talking about mutually beneficial relationships. We're talking about the friend-foe or the friend-friend or the foe-foe relationship, which most people don't want a foe-foe relationship, but that can be where they go. You know, when we were talking about this in the first segment, Joel, I couldn't help but think, when you're trying to lead people in this idea, you're trying to engage them and cast a vision and say, what you need to do is go be a friend-friend. Well, what happens a lot of times is when you're the friend, you get taken advantage of and the other person's the foe. And I think that's the thing that drives us to not want to do that. So you said when we were going into the break, because we don't want to be a sucker is the point, right? I mean, no one wants to be a sucker. And so I think what you just said as we were going to the break is we have to cast a vision for the benefit of a friend-friend relationship. We've got to change our thinking and the thinking of the people around us to see a friend-friend relationship is truly beneficial, even though you may not gain personally. It seems like you may not gain as much in a friend-friend relationship. And so, Joel, you were kind of talking about that. And I don't know, Kerry, you said that you had something that you wanted to add to what Joel was saying. Do you recall what that was?
Yeah, absolutely, which is amazing. you know, if you have a friend-foe relationship, you have a win-lose. If you have a friend-friend relationship, you have a win-win. And I know my personal mantra is, if it's not win-win, I'm not interested. You know, I'm not interested in any kind of a deal on either side of it. If you're going to lose or I'm going to lose, I'm out. It's got to be win-win or I'll figure out something else. But if you think about the big term in there is lose. If someone's going to lose, it's a loss. It's a loss for somebody. And as far as, you know, from the Christian perspective, you know, we're commanded in Bible by the Bible in Luke. There's the story of the Good Samaritan. Everybody hears the story of the Good Samaritan. But what people don't really recognize is this a story of a Jewish man in Samaria, or he was laying on the side of the road, bloodied and beaten, and this Samaritan who's an enemy of the Jew. His enemy found him. His friends walked around across the street. The enemy saw him. The enemy took him to the inn. The enemy took care of him for a day and then said to the innkeeper, here's money to treat him well, and when I return, I will repay you every other expense you had. Okay? So there, you know, there is there was nothing in it for that Samaritan, who that Jew hated. The guy that he was treating was his enemy. So, you know, you love your enemy, so you always want to be friend. It doesn't end well to be foe. So, like I was saying earlier, if you're going to be a friend, be a friend. If you find someone's taking advantage of you, okay, they just have identified themselves as the enemy. But that doesn't mean that you go, okay, well, if you're going to be a foe, I'm going to be a foe. Well, that's not what the Bible commands us to do.
Right.
The Bible commands us to see your foe and treat them well.
Right. And the misunderstanding could be, well, I don't want to let them continue just taking advantage of me. Are you saying I should just keep being nice to them and just keep letting them do what they what they're doing? No. Being a friend doesn't mean weakness. Being a friend means you do what you need to do on a positive level that's best for the organization, for the individual that's maybe even doing the wrong things, and for yourself and for everyone around. And sometimes that is drawing some boundaries, putting some guardrails up and saying, look, you know what? You can't do that. And if you do that, here's the consequences. We really need you to change. We need you to be a friend. We need you to turn your actions around so that you can be a part of where we're going. And if you can't do that, then here's the consequences. You're going to have to go somewhere else to Pizza Hut.
And I think a lot of times, like Joel was saying, people come in with a jungle mentality. It's dog eat dog. You know, I'm gonna get mine. You know, and they're not used to, or their expectation when they come into a new place of employment, that they're going to be taken advantage of. The culture is taught today that it's the employees versus the employers. The employers are just going to grind you up and spit you out. Well, there's this thing going around on Facebook saying, you know, don't take your job or give too much to your job because if something happened to you, your job would be posted before your obituary. You know, and it just breaks my heart because that can be further from the truth.
Right.
You know, but that's the perception of society. And so someone comes to work and they're expected that they're just going to milk me for all I'm worth. And so I'm going to get mine and, you know, and it doesn't, and it's absolutely will hold you back.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that is true in a lot of cases that there are a lot of people out there, whether they're people just with leadership or people with authority or owners or whatever, that are willing to take at the expense of their employees. And, mm-hmm. you know, we call those bosses, you know, people that use their authority and their titles more so than leadership. And but that's not everybody. And there are a lot of really great, truly godly owners and leaders out there that are doing the right thing, and they're running their companies for the glory of God. And anybody can get involved with those companies. You just have to look, and you have to make up your mind that you're going to work for a place, you're going to align yourself, you're going to start a business in a way that's going to line up with the values that you value.
You know, Carrie, so Joel Smith is the voice you heard. Carrie Peterson's in the studio with us as well. And Carrie, you wanted to say something. I wrote my note down, so I don't want you to forget. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, from a standpoint, let's just take from my position. Like I said, I'm in leadership position. You know, I have a company that I've run and founded. Joel and I do this academy together. And last thing, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But my point is you still want to vote friend, even if the other person's voting foe. So they're going to come into the workplace a lot of times, and they have this preconceived notion of where they have to be and how they have to succeed. And I think the consistent demonstration of friend is what's going to build the trust, that's going to build the bridge to this person to make them go, hey, this is a big lie. There are people that care. I don't have to be untrustworthy. I can get on board with this. And then your boat analogy, you know, you cast a vision. This is where we want to go. Everybody row that way. And suddenly this person goes, I like this. I'm going to row where they want to go. You know, and so being a friend and being a good leader and having that trust foundation, it gives people the solid ground they need to stand on that they may have never seen before. So.
Absolutely. Well, I think about this. You said something earlier, Carrie, that struck me, and that is, you know, in the game scenario of a friend-friend or a friend-foe or a foe-foe, when those are your options, if you're going to vote friend or foe in a relationship, you said something, Carrie, that I thought was really fascinating. It's really either win-win, win-lose, or lose-lose. And that doesn't change. If two people vote friend, it's win-win. If one person votes friend and one person votes foe, it's a win-lose. And if both vote foe, it's a lose-lose. And you said, I don't want there to ever be a lose.
Yeah, lose is no good.
Lose is no good. And see, here's what's really fascinating about that is that middle option of the win-lose, the winner temporarily gets all the win, right? But there's a loser. And we're causing a loss. And somebody else is losing. And I think it's really antithetical to the very heart of what it means, hopefully, to be a Christian, to be a leader, to be a good friend, to do that. A win-win is the only way you want to go, because somebody's going to lose. And ultimately, in a win-lose situation, that lose, that loss, very well is going to come back around to you, even if temporarily you win. And it made sense the way I wrote it down. And I don't know if that makes sense out loud, but it was really kind of profound to switch the way you think of a win-lose or a friend-foe vote. To vote foe in that situation when the other person votes friend is temporarily beneficial for you, but someone loses. Mm-hmm. And you're literally walking away laughing at the other person.
And you've got what was theirs.
And you have what's theirs. You've stolen.
So you have
them.
That
yeah.
Guilt. You will, you know, even if you don't feel it that moment, you will have guilt about that, and that's luggage you can't put back.
You know, and do you guys think that could be what you just talked about there, the guilt factor? Do you think that's one of the factors of what makes people angry, depressed, frustrated in their work environment when they're not giving 100% because they feel a little bit guilty because they know they're not giving 100%?
Oh, sure. I think people can evaluate themselves pretty well. There's, you know, people either have a high self-esteem or self-image of themselves or low. And people that have continually taken, you know, or been a foe or maybe not being able to trust others or to be trustworthy are going to think a little lower of themselves, and they're going to have less confidence, and they're not going to be able to have the same kind of options as somebody that is confident and knows they're going to do the right thing and kind of stands on integrity and has a reputation and has developed relationships around them of trust.
Right.
And I think that's the hard part about a person that is a taker or a person that falls for that instant gratification of taking quickly is the relationships that are severed. You know, or maybe not even started because of that. You know, you enter into some kind of a relationship, and it can go forward, or it can discontinue. And the problem is people that think like that become isolated.
Mm.
They become people that don't have a lot of close people around them that will support them and help them, or they don't have people that want them as part of their group, part of their company, and that's the unfortunate part, because it doesn't have to be like that. You know, if we just let go of some of these wants and desires and think about other people, we can begin to surround ourselves with other trusting people.
You have, I think a lot of times, we all carry a certain amount of guilt. We all are separated from God. If you think about it, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve committed the first sin, the first result of that was shame. The very first result of sin was shame. And we all carry shame. We all have done things in our life that we would not want anyone to know. And so that guilt, and we, and so it causes us to put up a show. We might put it on Facebook or whatever, but we're, hey, look at me. I don't have problems, right? We all put up this little curtain that you can't see behind and hide our problems behind, and we all do it. And I think, you know, when you vote faux and you do that enough times, it just makes that curtain thicker. And it makes it hard, you know, like Joel says, you get more and more isolated. You're burning little bridges one at a time. And I know I spend a lot of time, you know, working with homeless people and what have you. And you just think about, now this is kind of an outworking of this, right? But a lot of these folks have burned every bridge. I mean, think about it. You're sitting in, you're listening to the radio. You may not, you go, you know, if I lost my job, would I be homeless tomorrow? Probably not. You could go live with a relative, a friend, someone to put you up. But if you've been a taker and you have burned every bridge, no one will take you in. You don't have that trust going on. And that's where you could end up, you know, worse situation.
You have to be a pretender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, big pretender.
The interesting part about the game show, too, is right before they vote, they have an opportunity to convince the other person that they're going to be honest or that they're going to share and they're going to vote friend. And so they have that. They have that few seconds where they're trying to look honest so that the other person will vote friend. And it's just like a job interview.
Mm.
When you think about it, you know, people come in and they want a job. They want you to hire them. And so they're going to put on their best.
Yeah. My number one flaw is that I work just too hard. We're going to talk about the Truth and Leadership Academy when we come up next. What is this and how can you improve in your life as well? Thanks for listening to 99.3 FM, The Truth. Listening to 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is 99.3 FM, The Truth. And you're listening to The Truth Business Network radio program. This is a production of 99.3 FM and The Truth Business Network. We are a Christian, a movement of Christian professionals who recognize their need for God and for each other as we are equipped to serve our community as great leaders and live out our faith with confidence. And we meet every Wednesday from 12 to 1 at the Pizza Ranch on 86th Street right here in Urbandale. And you are invited to join us as well as a great group of women and men who get together really for mutual edification. Many weeks we have speakers and sometimes we don't. We just have an opportunity to fellowship and network. And it's a place where it's the most expensive networking group you're ever going to be in because it's more expensive than any paid networking group because it costs you that wall, I think, that Carrie was just talking about. It's going to cost you the opportunity to be a real friend to a bunch of people in a room and get serious about it. And there's a lot of friends in that room, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And Carrie Peterson is in the studio. Joel Smith is in the studio, and I try to call them friends most of the time. They believe me, but I'm a good actor. So you guys together run the Truth and Leadership Academy. Joel, why don't you start? Now, you can learn about Truth and Leadership Academy online at truthandleadership.com. So, Joel, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about this group.
Sure. Well, truthandleadership.com came about just through a vision for a real need that we have in our culture. And that is that there's a lot of young people with a lot of talent and a lot of ability, a lot of potential that don't know where to go or what to do in order to reach their full potential. And there's a need for leaders to help people get to where they need to go. And I was one of those people years and years ago, young, impressionable, and lost in the world. Didn't know what I was capable of, didn't know where to go or where to turn. And Carrie was that same person.
Yep.
You know, so we've both experienced that. We understand what it's like to be young and not really have a good direction in life for whatever reason. We found ourselves in a place where the restaurant industry was our best option at the time, and we tried to navigate through the jungle with that. And so when what we've discovered is that people need help with that. And if you don't have help, if you don't have somebody that comes along and puts their arm around you and says, hey, let me teach you some things, let me help you get to where you need to be, it's really easy to get lost. It's easy to get lost in that world and to fall and become kind of a victim of hopelessness. That's kind of the burden that started this all for myself and had been brewing for a little while, and we had been teaching leadership within our company for a while, and I really had a need to kind of expand this and make this much better. So I reached out to a few people, including Carrie, and Carrie just kind of jumped at it, like, yeah, I get it. This is what I want too. And so that's kind of how it started, and I'll let Carrie throw his two cents in as well.
It was interesting. So we had this, the first class, if you will. We had my employees come in, Joel's employees come in the room, and they're kind of like deer in headlights, like, this is interesting. And so I gave this little speech about the word rival. Everybody's heard the word rival, and everybody thinks that that is a definition of a contentious relationship, like Iowa-Iowa State are rivals. But that is the incorrect use of that word. The literal word rival is French, and it literally means two creatures who drink from the same stream. Doesn't say they're enemies. It just says that they have the same life source. So Joel and I are rivals. We both sell pizza, right? God provides the customers. We're not enemies. Our employees aren't against each other. So, you know, so one thing that we want to stress is the Truth and Leadership Academy is not a job fair. If you are an employer and want to send your employees to this academy or want to attend yourself, you can know that we're not there to recruit your employee away from whatever they're doing. Our intent is to make that employee a better leader for their own future, wherever that may be. So that's really what it's about. It's about giving back. And if you think about it, you know, a lot of people, executives, managers, you know, they have access to these classes. I know a lot of people that their companies put these classes on, or they send them off to Dale Carnegie or, you know, whatever leadership classes it may be. But the guy with holding the broom doesn't have that chance. And the guy holding the broom might be a great CEO someday if he's just given the knowledge. And so that's our goal, is to give the knowledge of to be a good leader, and so these guys can, you know, get to the corner office, I guess would be the way to put that.
Sure.
You know, you're absolutely right, Joel. This was many years, or Carrie is the voice you're hearing. Joel, you shared this with me many years ago, and the light bulb went on for me when you first shared this because of what Carrie just said. When it comes to leadership, leadership development, training, it's all white collar. It just really is. It tends to all shoot to the white collar people who are already in that level, and there's not a lot of people talking to the rest of us. And you guys are in an industry where you have a lot of blue collar workers, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's necessarily the best word for it, but you know, in the restaurant industry, you have a lot of people that are working hourly jobs, and they come to work and they go home and they don't think much of it. But you guys are investing in each other's employees, but not for the purpose of making, you know, Carrie, you're not trying to make Papa Murphy's better, and Joel, you're not trying to make Northern Lights Pizza better necessarily. You're more investing in the individuals themselves because Correct. You recognize that if you invest in the individuals, then they are going to go on and succeed, and that's going to produce a tremendous amount of fruit. And it requires a Christian worldview to even think that way. It's something beyond just sacrifice. It's really believing that if we invest and we plant seed, wisdom and knowledge in someone's life, that they can grow. So if you're interested in this, if you're a business owner, or even if you're an employee and you work in the food service industry somewhere, go to truthandleadership.com. truthandleadership.com. Check that website out. Look at what's available there. And there's a contact spot on that website, and you can find out when these classes occur. They are absolutely free of charge. They will contact you, get you to come to the place where they hold them, and you can get trained up. And I say, give it a shot. These guys are really nice. They're really down to earth. It's not high pressure. It shouldn't be something that's intimidating, you know, but it's worth it for yourself. Because God has a big plan for each and every one of us. So So let me ask you this, Carrie, as we're kind of wrapping up, because this sort of started in Joel's heart many years ago, but you jumped on board. Why did you jump on board?
Well, you are the one that gave Joel my phone number, Chris, so this is all your fault. But, you know, I went and I met Joel at a Perkins. We had breakfast and got to know each other, and Joel laid this vision out for me. And this is something that I've been wanting to do for my own employees, but didn't really have the resources. Joel's a certified John Maxwell coach, and so he has the resources and stuff. But when he laid this out to me, I was like, this is a wonderful idea. There is nobody teaching this to these people. And, you know, God has given me a lot. And my obligation out of my heart is just to overflow it and give it back. So, yeah, I jumped on it because, like, what a great thing to do. Because I would love to see people grow up to become great leaders. This country is desperate for good leaders. You know, trustworthy, real leaders. So, I love it.
Well, you said that right, and I know we're not allowed to talk about politics. Just kidding. So, you know, one of the great things about America is that very real thing. You know, we've got a lot of people right now that want the government or corporations or the big CEOs to take care of them. But you know what? In America, you can make your own dream. I mean, you can make your millions. You can pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. That really is the American dream.
Right now.
You can. Right now. All right. So truthandleadership.com is the website I want you to go to. Check it out, if for no other reason, because I asked you to, and you know, we're friends. Truthandleadership.com, truthandleadership.com. Thanks for listening to 99.3 FM. Coming up next, my good friend, Carl Schaphorst with Sandler Sales Training. This is the Truth Business Network radio program. Thanks again for listening. I'm Chris Roloff. We're here to wrap up the radio program with my favorite segment. We've got Carl Schaphorst in the studio with us. He's with Sandler Training. You can find out more about Carl online. I said that like I've said it a million times. Carl. You can find out more about Carl Schaphorst online at iowasalestraining.net. We're going to get to Carl in just a second, but I've got a question for you. Zig Ziglar said that sales is getting people to say yes. If you are a professional person getting people to say yes, you're in sales. So do you consider sales to be a profession? Are you a professional salesperson? We want to hear from you. Why don't you give us a text at 515-727-5842. Tell us how you would define sales as a profession. Text us at 515-727-5842. Now, Carl Schaphorst, you're with Sandler Training. Why don't you tell me a little bit about sales as a profession, Carl?
You know, it's kind of a profound statement. The way most people out there treat sales, they treat it more like a hobby than they would a profession. What I mean by that, it's not like you go to college and you get a bachelor's degree in sales. I mean, you'll get a bachelor's degree in engineering and marketing and finance and architecture and accounting. And then you'll find yourself in a position of trying to get customers to come into the door. And where's the training for sales? Most corporations, when they train their salespeople, they just focus on features and benefits of product, and they really don't spend any time on the science of human behavior and those kind of things. And so what you have is you have a very unoptimized, inefficient methodology for sales, and it leads to a lot of frustration, a lot of wasted hours, a lot of free consulting. And if we were to treat, you know, sales as a profession, then why wouldn't we just go through the same rigor that we would in getting a college degree? I mean, if this is your profession, if this is the seat in which you sit that brings success to yourself and to the company, it would only make sense then to go in and be trained on this skill set, just as you would getting trained to be an engineer. And you know what? A true professional would admit that the training should never stop. I mean, once if that's your profession, it would just be ongoing. You know, Chris, I think about the teacher. If you want to be a teacher, you have to have a bachelor's, you have to take a test, you have to pass certain credentials, you have to have evidence that you've been through all that before they'll even hire you. If you want to be a professional engineer, you have to get the degree, you have to be in the business for 5 years under an apprenticeship before you can even take the test. If you want to be a salesperson, all you got to do is just show up.
You just have to have a pulse.
That's about it. Fog a mirror, and they'll take you. If you can make calls and set us a few appointments and even sell something, you want to know something? They'll take you. And isn't that interesting? The barrier to entry for sales is about as low as it can get. And the unfortunate thing about that is that it leads to a lot of non-professionals ending up in the sales business. And then the prospects run into these non-professionals whose agenda really isn't to help the prospect, but really is to sell and to make money. And so prospects have been hardened. They have been trained by bad salespeople on how to behave in a sales call. And that makes it difficult for the professional then to really have what I would call good conversations that can be productive, that can lead to a real good solution. And all the more for a salesperson to really be trained on how to engage with these prospects so that they truly can have those conversations and be very effective in the process.
Carl Schaphorst is our guest. If you want to become a professional salesperson, all you got to do is go online to iowasalestraining.net. If it's time for you to get serious about selling, I'm going to get serious about selling. If you're ready to get serious about sales, go to iowasalestraining.net. Sales, it seems like, doesn't have to be the terrible thing that you end your life doing, but it can be a joy.
You know, I'll just close with this, Chris. 20 years I was in sales, and I didn't really enjoy it. I thought it was difficult. It was challenging. Sandler made sales fun again. And I love sales. It's the greatest career on the planet, the highest paid career. And isn't that interesting that you don't need to have a lot of education to have it? You just need to know how to do it.
That's right. Go to iowasalestraining.net. Thanks for listening, and thanks, Carl.